be said. And I think the problem here, too, is that in having these conversations, people will think that I'm trying to absolve this person for what they did, and that is not the case. You can recognize the monstrosity of what someone has done and also understand that the circumstances of their lives have put them on this path. And we don't know anything about this person. Not really. We know what is being reported officially and unofficially. We know that we know snippets and assumptions. But I caution you against falling down that hole, because I understand where it comes from. Everybody wants an answer. We want to be able to explain away something horrific that happened. But is the way to do it by doing harm to a broader community? And it's interesting, right? Because when we have a shooting from somebody, you know, we see it in the States constantly. And if the shooter is cisgendered and white, we talk about the mental health crisis facing our young people. When the shooter is brown, we talk about terrorism. When the shooter is trans, we talk about terrorism. So what's the difference there? I think it's pretty plain. And I want to look at something here. I wouldn't normally look at this because, frankly, the National Post is a piss newspaper. But Jeff Russ wrote a piece called "Do Not Try to Humanize the Tumblr Ridge Shooter." And with underneath says, "Too many try to explain away mass shootings to fit them into an ideological framework." So we're going to talk about this story and see if you can spot the issues. But we're going to play some more music first. This is a band I just found that I'm a big fan of already, called Truck Violence. And the song is called Guns Buried in the Front Yard. I believe they're from Winnipeg. Anyway, Truck Violence. Here we go.
I like it here right now. I like it here right now. I like it here right now. Love from the blinds, and I'm having your face till the kitchen's corner and the pose of your blade. I like it here right now. I like it here right now. The love from the blinds, and I'm having your face till the kitchen's corner and the pose of your blade. I like it here right now. I like it here. And it's never the money. Sit down the bottle and show me something. I'm looking out through the window, I'm coming. And it was never the money. Sit down the bottle and show me something. I'm looking out through the window, won't kill me. And it was never the money. Sit down the bottle and show me something. I'm looking out
guns buried in the front yard by truck violence. So before that, I mentioned that we were going to talk about a piece written by Jeff Russ in the National Post. National Post, it should be noted, is easily one of the most mainstream conservative pieces of trash in our Canadian journalistic system. So it's not a surprise that something like this comes out in the Post, but I think it is worth taking a look at. And to show you some of the more malicious tactics that are being used, because reading through this, on its face, it seems easy to agree with in as like a knee-jerk response, right? So one of the things here, so they go over what happened in Tumbler Ridge, and then they mention the shooter that the shooter identified as a trans woman. And so that is explicitly called out immediately by them. So they say then, regardless of the details, some people inevitably try to humanize the actions of mass shooters. These attempts have to be resisted, no matter the life story or the politics attached to the Tumbler Ridge suspect. To do so would be to normalize evil. The habit of empathizing or trying to understand perpetrators can quickly devolve into a silent form of surrender. It makes people think that the price of life in a society is sharing emotional labor with those who destroy it. So they go on like this. I'm not gonna share it. You can go find it. It's easy enough to find. They make reference to a shooting in 1996 in Vernon, as well as the École Polytechnique shooting in 1989. I'm actually not familiar with the Vernon shooting in 96, but the Polytechnique was politically motivated and therefore does need to be talked about. And what it says here is practical questions must be asked, and investigators have to try and determine how and why they occur and whether or not they could be prevented. And failures that enable murder must be scrutinized. Still, we are not obligated to try and empathize with killers, and that is a hard moral line. They make reference then to things like true crime documentaries and all this kind of stuff. It really kind of goes off topic, but I want you to remember that this writer made a point of identifying the shooter as trans. They also go on to talk about Luigi Mangione, accused of killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, and how he was turned into a folk hero because he was an anti-capitalist. The other example he gives here are Twitch streamer Hassan Piker, who framed 9/11 as something that the United States, quote, deserved, and says explanations for evil have place in police work and crime prevention, but not in moral accounting. It's important to resist the myth that mass violence, such as that in Tumbler Ridge, can simply be attributed to mental illness. So, because publishing something that just goes on about trans people isn't going to fly, even at the Post, what's important is, what they're saying here is that you should not empathize with anybody who does anything like this. And I think we're at a point where we feel like empathy is the same as allowing for or absolving of responsibility or guilt. But what we do need to do is look at our broader picture. This, you know, he says, this person says many of these killers are coherent, and yeah, but what else is, it's a really challenging thing. It really is, especially this soon after it has happened. I don't know that we are ready to have a conversation about where the gaps are in our systems. And that's okay. We don't have to have those conversations right now. This person, though, by immediately putting in their article that the shooter was trans has opened that as a vital part piece of information. If it was not important, if we did not need to take these things into account, they would not be mentioned. And the example about 9/11 is really interesting. And as I've grown up, I've come to understand 9/11 differently. Not that it was okay. It was, again, tragic. It was in response to things that were happening in the world, to oppressions that were happening in the world. Is that okay? No. Can you understand it? Yes. The things that I have seen said about this person and about the fact that they are trans and the fact that they take sertraline are horrific. And as somebody who also takes sertraline, hurtful. I am somebody who takes 200 milligrams of sertraline every day for my own mental health condition. And things said online would lead people to believe that that makes me somebody who might do something like this. I'm not. There is no justifying or explaining, but people want to use what happened here for their agenda and then say that we shouldn't be using it for an agenda. And I think that that's really dark and really horrific. And Jeff Russ and people like him are contributing to that. And everyone using this, the fact that this person was trans, as some kind of aha or see, I told you, they're part of the problem. And what we're doing here is opening the door to more harm. And that is what we need to stop. And we need to put that down as before it gets out of hand, and it's already out of hand. We keep doing this every time. And it's hard. Reporting here by Amy Judd at Global talks about Tumblr Ridge shooting fuels misinformation about trans people. And that's what's happening. It's misinformation about trans people. And we're going to talk about that after this next song. And we're just going to keep working through this. All right. Okay. This is Rano with Memories. We'll be right back. So we're back. That was Nano with Memories. I think Nano? Hold on. Let me just... Rano with Memories. Apologies. And we are talking about Tumbler Ridge, at least in this first hour. I was going to talk about misinformation and disinformation about trans people, and found some coverage here from Global, from an interview with Amelia Newbert, who is the founder of Skipping Stone, which has some, I think, really good things to say here. So what they have said here is that what happened is a tragedy, unequivocally. There is no other word for what happened. Nobody is saying that it is fine. But it doesn't require any of us to condemn an entire community of people who are overwhelmingly more likely to be victims of violence than perpetrators of violence. So I want you to think about this for a second. So this is what the Deputy Commissioner Dwayne McDonald from the BCRCMP said earlier in the week. This is a quote from them. "I can say that this person was born as a biological male who, approximately the information that I have, approximately 6 years ago began to transition to female and identified as female as both socially and publicly." And then what follows is a sentence that I think damns that entire statement. "There is currently no evidence to suggest that their gender identity is linked to the crime. And yet it is deliberately mentioned. It is brought into focus because that is what people want you to be afraid of. There is no evidence that their gender identity or transition has anything to do with what happened, and yet it is worth remarking on." And I think that that is very telling about the way that we treat trans people. What we know is that people don't do these things because of individual identity. This is from Newbert again. She said, "The focus at this time should be on coming together and being united in grief and support for the community. Unfortunately, we're seeing individuals online and in the media, even politicians, using this moment and using grief of a country and of a world as ammunition for pursuing hateful ideology. And I think that that is unconscionable right now." And I agree fully with that. At a press conference in Tumbler Ridge on Friday, McDonald addressed misinformation that was spread online, which included coverage and posts that have included images of an unrelated person, which resulted in false accusations. "We would like to advise that an individual in Ontario with a similar name to the person has been wrongly accused of being responsible. That should not have happened. In no world should that have happened. Someone with a similar name is blamed for something like that and attacked online." Mis and disinformation amplify hateful beliefs, which can result in discrimination and violence towards trans people who already face extremely high levels of discrimination and harassment. Newbert says that they're seeing conversations online or different platforms that should not be happening. This is not organic concern growing. This is coordinated attacks. And the fact that, you know, I'm here, we're having this conversation as opposed to focusing on the families and focusing on grief and healing, and that's wrong. It's actually exactly what the families of this tragedy have asked us not to do. Newbert said that it is human nature, and when something devastating happens, people want to know why. For folks who don't know trans people, maybe othering is a place where that fear can grow. But I think when anything happens, really reducing the truth down to one aspect of somebody's identity, whether it's their gender, their race, their religion, or anything else, when we do that, we're pulling one aspect out of context, and it's not about truth. That's about scapegoating. Newbert says that she would like to see focus placed on the experiences of those affected and looking for ways to support them instead of looking for a person to vilify. And I think that's what I'm seeing. I am seeing a tremendous amount of effort being placed on vilifying trans people in the wake of this. And I just don't think that is helpful. And I think that if you have family and friends who are participating in that, say something to them. Tell them that they are a problem. because I think we often will just let stuff slide, and I think we need to stop letting this shit slide because it's not okay. And I'm so tired of this idea that we should meet everybody's hate with kindness. And frankly, if you're out there posting hateful shit about trans people because of this, you should be fired into the sun. I'm done being kind to people who only have the energy to hate people. And as I have said 100 times in this episode so far, none of this makes okay what happened. But understanding where there are gaps in our services and in our support structures is critical to preventing this stuff from happening again. And I think that understanding, as I have said again and again, is not the same as absolution. So that's kind of all I really can say here, other than to say there is a GoFundMe online created by the school's parental advisory committee that is probably worth donating to if you can. Also look for different organizations that support trans youth in your community and support them. This is one of those situations where, you know, funding all goes to one place and sometimes it needs to be split up a little bit. So I'm going to share it's gofundme.com/f/tumblr-ridge-strong. And I also recommend supporting the Trans Lifeline if you can. What happened is going to be with us for a long time. And we can either use this as an opportunity to start to make changes, or we can use it to make the lives of people that we live with objectively worse. And personally, I know which one I would prefer. So I don't know. It's really hit hard, this whole thing. And I don't know what else I can say. So I think with that, I'm going to leave it. We are at the end of the first hour of episode 100 of Sirit Moves Radio. And we're going to go out on some music and maybe try and talk about some things that are a little bit less awful. But stuff's pretty tough right now. And we all know that. We are all there. Imagine what we could do if we would work together instead of trying to create further hate and division. Imagine how good it could be. Do I think it's ever going to happen? No. No, I don't. Because I think hateful bigots will always find a reason to be a hateful bigot. Okay. YDX stream dub coming up here at the break. And when we come back, I've got more music. And, I have a fun announcement. So we'll get to that too. And anyway, enjoy. We'll be back. Thanks, folks.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Listening to Syrup Moose Radio, a show from 93.9 FM CICT.